Good morning.
Welcome on this first Sunday of Lent, this Sunday of joy, and this Sunday of anticipation. We are beginning a new series, and in this particular time of Lent and this beginning of the day, it is a reminder to all of us that we are also entering into a time of reflection, of personal repentance, and of congregational repentance. And we are refraining from some of the expressions of joy that we generally do on a regular Sunday, because in their absence through these 6 weeks, we will return to things like the doxology and the Gloria Patri and Hallelujah, Praise the Lord. Those things will be renewed and begun again when it comes to Easter Sunday. But today, being the first Sunday of Lent, and throughout these 6 weeks, we will do reflections and we will have honest and good in reviews of our lives and of our church practices, and then we will be more solemn as we continue to celebrate. Hopefully today's sermon will be that mixture of celebrating and also reflecting in seriousness. You'll see definitely the lovely banners that are for the Lenten season, and there is a new banner that is up in this front corner. That banner represents chaos. That is the beginning of our lives, is in a sense of chaos and disarray. If there's people have counted various individuals in that array, and sometimes we feel like we're lost in that spinning. But each week there will be a new banner that will show us progress in imagery of how we are learning more about ourselves and learning more about our church. And through that series of change and transformation, we will come to Easter Sunday. But now we begin in chaos. And also we begin with announcements and the kinds of things that we want to share with one another. While I'm remembering, because of the weather, we are going to have a very enjoyable fellowship with hot drink and cookies in Fellowship Hall, so that you do not have to stand with an umbrella outside, but just go right through this, the transept here and through the hallway to the Fellowship Hall for fellowship following the worship service. Other announcements?
I just wanted to take note about, this is the last Sunday for plant sale order forms. So there's some in the narthex, or there's some in the office. This is the last Sunday. If you filled one out at home and it's still at home, we need it first thing tomorrow morning, because we're putting in our order tomorrow morning. Also, right after church, the planning council is meeting, the youth and children's planning council is meeting in room 113. We'd love to have you join us. And youth group tonight at 4:00 in the youth room. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Please, Heather. Sorry.
This Tuesday night, and I don't know if you were going to make an announcement, we are doing the hosting at our house, the Lent service. Lynn will be there from 7 to 8. It'll be, looks like, yay! it'll be from 7 to 8, and just come, and we'll have devotion and fellowship, and then we live in Mount Allen Harbor, so will an address be sent out? How will that work?
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. She's reminding us that we begin this Tuesday evening with our 5-week series of Lenten devotions in different people's homes. They should all be published in your bulletin today, and especially this week we'll go to Heather's house, and Heather and David's house, and Luke and Leah's, and anybody is invited. Especially, we're sort of trying to look at these events as neighborhood gatherings. Bring a friend and find the home that is the closest to you, or go to the one that's most convenient. The program will be the same each week, and the illustration of the program will vary depending on whose conversation is participating. So thank you, Heather, for that. That begins this Tuesday, in-home services and remembrances of Lenten devotions this week. Tuesday morning, 10:00 here. Tuesday evening in the parlor at 7:00, Presbyterian women will meet.
And
Presbyterian
women, rock and roll dance, April 27th.
First Saturday after Easter, rock and roll. We will celebrate. See Jeannie. And Susie, yes. Please, Jenny. Dwight and Diane are the new grandparents of a 8-pound, 13 ounces, 21-inch long little boy. It was, yeah. Thank you, Jenny. As we prepare our hearts and engage further into our sense of worship, Luke will lead us in this responsive reading from the Psalm 91, and it's not starting with verse 1. So, what verse are you beginning? Where are you beginning, Luke? What's your first verse?
What?
9. Okay.
If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge,
then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent.
Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name.
He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you.
We approach God's throne with courage. We approach God because God is fast and quick to give us mercy. But first, we confess. God of life, you call us to care for one another and to care for all creation. We often look for happiness in the wrong places. Sometimes we think that the things we could have or the things we could do would make us happy. Forgive us when we lose focus. In this Lenten season, cleanse our vision. Fill our lives with your presence so that we can resist all other temptations that strive to contaminate our living. We breathe out our sin and breathe in holiness. We wash away our sin with the cleansing waters of baptism. We know we belong to God because God first loved us. And on these waters and in this path, we are always accompanied, supported, and loved thoroughly from the inside out. Let us say what we believe. We trust in Jesus Christ. Fully human, fully God, Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. Another. With the sign of Christ's peace, we share that symbol of Christ's love as we look into each other's eyes and greet them with peace. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Did you see my reply to you?
Yeah, I did.
know why I love it.
You did get up and
say,
They build houses in the where we used to play in the woods.
Or this is it.
So God has a new house. You skip for
$150.
Don't build up over it. And so it's not a house.
Yeah.
All they gotta do is leave like one room intact or something, and basically just tear it all down to
today, reading from Deuteronomy holds great promise for what we can learn from spending some time in the wilderness. All too often when we look at the wilderness, we see the testing and not the faith. We too are tempted to see the testing in our lives as a sign of abandoning or falling. Testing can be a positive sign that God's Spirit enables us to meet the power of evil when it wears away at the soul of our community and our world. When we prepare for new growth in our lives, as we traditionally do in Lent, we commit ourselves to face all of the distorting of good in ourselves and the world. Facing the tempters is possible because we do not do it alone. The Spirit of God within the community of Jesus follows us to more ahead in faith. The ground may seem hard, but already it is alive in the stirring of new growth. Let us hear the Word of God. I'm reading Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11, and I'm reading from The Message. It's on the Pew Bible on page 195. Once you enter the land that God, your God, has given you as an inheritance and taken it over and settled down, You are to take some of all the first fruit of what you grew in the land that God, your God, is giving you. Put them in a basket and go to the place God, your God, set apart for you to worship in. At that time, go to the priest who is there and say, I announce to God, your God, today that I have entered the land that God promised our ancestors and hell given to us. The priest will take the basket that you have placed on the altar of God, your God, and share it with the presence of God, your God. You will then recite, a wandering Aramaean was my father. He went down to Egypt and journeyed there. He and just a handful of his brothers at first, but soon they became a great nation, mighty and many. The Egyptians abused and battered us in the cruel and enslaving and savage enslaving. We cried out to God, the God of our fathers. He listened to our voice. He saw our disturbed and troubled and curious plight. And God took us out of Egypt with his strong hand and long arm and great with sign and miracle wonders. And he brought us to the place he gave us, where he gave us the land flowing with milk and honey. So here I am. I brought the first fruit of what I grow and the ground you gave me, O God. Then place it in the presence of God, your God. Prostrate yourself in the presence of God, your God, and rejoice, celebrate all the good things that God, your God, has given you and your family, you and the Levites and the foreigner who lives with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Children and any younger youth, please come forward. All right, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so today I wanted to talk a little bit about what our Bible story is going to be about stress. Raise your hand if you've ever been stressed out. Yeah? All right, what are some things that you might be stressed about? Yeah, Riley?
Homework.
Homework, that's a good one. Luke?
Not getting the toy that you really want.
Oh, not getting something you really want. Yeah, Samantha?
Tests.
Tests, okay. Yeah, those are all really good ones, things to be stressed out about. So, we're going to represent our stress as this rubber band, right? If I take this rubber band and it represents stress, every time you get stressed, it keeps stretching. What's going to eventually happen?
It's going to
break. Yeah, it's going to snap, right? So, if we're the rubber band and we're stressed out, what kind of things happen when we snap? Yeah.
Like fully mad.
Or we get really mad. Yeah. Same. Yeah, you can be mad at somebody. You can get really angry at someone that you're not really that mad at, but you're stressed out, right? Yeah, Samantha.
Sometimes you take it out on people that you're really not supposed to because you're supposed to actually really take it out on yourself.
Oh, maybe a little bit you take it out on yourself or you take it out on other people, definitely. Maybe if you're studying for something, if you're doing your homework and you get so stressed out you snap, maybe you just give up, right? Yeah, that's the really bad things that can happen. So today's story in the Bible is about a time when Jesus got really stressed. Okay, and Jesus got really stressed, so we're going to represent him with this rubber band. And Jesus got really stressed For one thing, he hadn't eaten in 40 days. Can you imagine how hangry you'd be if you hadn't eaten in 40 days? Yeah. Stressed out, upset. Yeah. So he's getting really stressed out. And then he starts hearing a voice, or he starts talking to someone who's trying to tell him to do a lot of bad things, right? So he's getting really stressed out. So he's already all this way out. But Jesus was able to lessen the stress, to build it back down through scripture and through prayer, right? We're going to talk more about that story upstairs, but that's the way Jesus was able to lessen his stress. What are some ways, Kinsley, what's a way that we can get less stressed out? What's a way that you can get less stressed out, do you think? It's okay. Luke?
You can get a stress toy if you have one.
Oh, okay.
Squeeze it as hard as you can.
Yeah, so some people have a stress ball that gets really big when you squeeze it. Okay, that's a good one. Silas? You can take a break and go get something to drink. Definitely. That's a good one. Yeah, some water. Yeah, Kinsley? It's okay. Yeah, you can talk about things. Who are some people you should talk to when you're stressed out, do you think?
Jesus.
Okay, so we can talk to Jesus by praying. We can talk to our friends, right? Or we're going through the same situation. Our parents, definitely. Your sister, yeah, you can talk to anybody. Luke? Yeah, your mom. Definitely you can talk to your mom. Leah.
You feel like listen to music.
Definitely. Or sometimes you just have to remove yourself from a lot of other people, right? And focus on yourself. So, the last thing we can do, we talked about talking to other people, but I want this big rope of rubber bands to represent a lot of people, right? If we band together, we can deal with our stress a little bit better, right? Get it, rubber band? But also, here's our Jesus rubber band. Especially if we band with God through prayer and reading scripture like we talked about, it makes this rope even stronger. Let's see if we can get this to work. Okay, Leah, take it, and you promise you're not going to let it go. Okay. I got this end. All right. Oh, wait up. We got some knots in our people. They're just getting mad at each other? Well, let's help them de-stress then. Oh, my. I'm trying. That's what happens when you knot a rope. Well, these people are really close together, I think. They're just helping each other out so much that they're knotted together. All right, I think that's about as good as we're going to get. Let's see how far we can go.
Probably get all the way back there.
Oh, it's not going to snap. It's just going to release these knots really quickly, which is going to hurt. All right, so that's about as good as we're going to get. See how far we can get if we band together with God and we band together with each other, all these people that God's put in our life to help us out, we can help deal with all this stress, right? All right, we're going to walk back together and we're going to close in prayer, okay? Will you guys pray with me? All right, the tension's gone, so the stress is gone. Thank you very much. All right, let's pray. Dear God,
help us to be patient
when we are about to snap.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
All
right, stay sitting for a second because we got a present to hand out.
I'm snapping.
Don't snap. All right, so like Pastor Lynn said, we're starting off this season as Lent, and we have a special thing we do during Lent. Who wants to open this? Yeah, Luke, go ahead. Silas, you can help out. Just rip the paper. Hopefully. And we can all help.
What is building tools?
It's a box.
Building tools? No. It's a box, yes, but that's not the present. Yeah. So, during Lent, thank you, we got it. I got it. Thank you. We Leah said it right. We build our little fish, and we take up what's called our one great hour of sharing offering. Okay? So each of you It was just tape. Get a fish. You've had this before?
Yeah.
And then we'll have a big present. We'll come drop them off at the end of Lent, okay? So make sure everyone gets one. And if you have any extra coins, we're going to go build them up in Children's Church. Yep. Thank you. There you go. Thank you, Ethan. Yeah, if you're sitting down here, you can. All right. If you'd like to join us, we're going to talk more about our story upstairs. Otherwise, you can go sit back with your parents, or you can go back to the nursery. That's fine. Or you can go with us, Kinsley. Yeah, definitely. Uh-oh. Thank you, Sam.
This year is the 70th year of the One Great Hour of Sharing, so this was a birthday present to initiate our One Great Hour of Sharing offering and receiving, and that's why the gift was wrapped up for a present for the children and for you. You might have read in the communicator that we are going to have a series of sermons that talk some about what the culture perceives as our weaknesses. Things that do not represent power, but we know in the church that some of the things the culture sees as weak, we see as strong. And I think it will help to represent the ways God comes to us supposedly in weakness, but as we practice these illustrations of God's righteousness and presence with us, we will see them as strengths instead. So today we begin with the power of prayer and look at how Jesus began his ministry, even preparing to be tempted before anything else. He went to the wilderness to pray. Let us hear this word from the Lord according to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 30 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live from bread alone." Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed Jesus in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to Jesus, "I will give you all authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," said the devil, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you shall not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus and waited for an opportune time. A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This wilderness experience, this period of 40 days and 40 nights, this time when Jesus separated himself from all the work of his disciples, from all the activities that he would go back into the world to do, and from everything that was so important, he was withdrawing for this time of reflection, this time of deepening prayer, and this time of preparation. But Jesus went with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit accompanied the Christ in the very beginning, as does the Holy Spirit accompany us through these particular 40 days. I like what Wynne Collier, the pastor at All Souls Church in Charlottesville, Virginia, said for us today. Lent provides a 40-day season when we are invited to pay attention to our hunger, to those yearnings that move us toward healing and ultimately toward Easter's fasting. Traditionally, Lent is a season of fasting, surrendering food or certain types of food or other things in solidarity with Jesus' own experience and in recognition that we too crave God above all else. While Lent offers and invites rigorous discipline, it need not be grim. We do not dress ourselves in sackcloth and hang our heads in shame. We wash our face, we dress ourselves finely, and walk out into the world as children of God. But we simplify. We let go of the importance of things. Sometimes we are more silent. But even as we do all of this, we move forward in hope. We move forward in our relationship with God. Fasting, writes Wynne, can be a holy therapy. Lent is an embodied way that we receive God's healing and return to the one who is good and true. We do it because we're physical people who so often need to let our bodies pay attention to God, to be renewed in God. Our hunger pangs remind us of our even deeper hunger to be in relationship with God. Lent reminds us that we desire God and we need God if we are to truly live. So we think about this instance and this illustration of prayer, how it deepens our relationship and how we know we are always, just only by adding an awareness, we are always in conversation with God. I know for some of you when I've visited, and often we have a time of prayer before I leave, and I begin the prayer with, "You have been in our presence this whole time that we've been talking and visiting. Now we are aware of your presence with us." Prayer is awareness of God's holiness in our midst, of God's holiness even when we are angry, of God's holiness even when we are hungry, of God's Holy Spirit in our midst, even when we are confused. Prayer is that instrument that gives us presence of the Holy Spirit because we become aware. We have heard that saying about it is not God who leaves us, but it is we ourselves who get out of step with what God would want us to do. So you might be not really surprised that I was struck by the title of a book. It was a book written, and I bought it many years ago, but it came back to me now, and it's at this time because I remember the title and I went back to find it. It was written by three recently seminary graduates, Doug, Jeff, and Aaron, and they wrote a book called Never Pray Again. And the subtitle was, Lift Your Head, Unfold Your Hands, and Get to Work. Never Pray Again was not an invitation to not pray. Never Pray Again was to put your prayer into action. Do the things that God leads you to do, not only ask for them. And one of the things that they write about that is probably one of our most difficult is to talk about what we learn in prayer about ourselves. What kind of knowledge do we need to realize on our own with God's help about who we are? That is what Lent guides us to do. And they wrote, "Self-knowledge, in the way we usually mean it, does not seem to have been much of a preoccupation amongst various biblical peoples. Navel gazing is pretty much absent from the stories of Abraham, Moses,
Esther, and the prophets. With Jesus, though, we see what seems like a concern for self-knowledge. In the Synoptic Gospels, we have a Jesus who, immediately after he is baptized, goes into the wilderness to be tested. In Jesus' wilderness testing, he learns more about himself, and we learn more about him. Will he use his divine power to relieve his discomfort and hunger? No. Will he claim rulership over the world in a demonic fashion, choosing power over others from on high if offered? No. Will Jesus call upon the heavenly host to rescue him from danger or harm? No. We can never know what Jesus' ministry would have been like if he had never had this testing early on. But we can assume that everything Jesus did, he felt was necessary. So even for Jesus, it was necessary to go out into the desert alone and without comforts, and to come face to face with his deepest temptations. Can we do less if we are going to follow him? The comparison with Jesus will, of course, not be flattering. Many of us have not ever been hungry for 4 days, much less 40. I saw the expression on the children's faces when Graham asked them if they'd ever been thought about going without food, even for a day. And who of us here has not begged God for saving us from danger, or hasn't salivated at the opportunity to be put in charge of everything, maybe just for once, or maybe just for a little while? Let us show you how to do it. Let me show you how to do it. Have we ever said that? I have. But the principle stands. Before we go out into the world making proclamations about how we can make things right, we need to understand ourselves as deeply as possible. This particular prayer from the Black Elk Holy Man, from the Ogala Sioux tribe, said, "I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so that when life fades at the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame." Prayer is that conversation with God when we know that we are utterly out of control. There is nothing we can do, nothing we can say, nothing we can even believe without that sense of God's holy presence. And when we are utterly dependent on that grace, on that love that lives through us through and through, then we are able to see things new and differently. We are able to trust and to know that even in our pain, God loves us back into wholeness, even when that wholeness requires us to become empty. In this season of Lenten preparation, in this time of prayerful reflection, let us be honest with ourselves. Let us be honest with one another. Let us know God's reign is about cleansing us and not reinforcing what we've always done, but offering us vision for a new life. Amen.
Your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does travel, harbor danger yet unknown. Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in his love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, he's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful, and he's true. Walking by our side, in his love we hide all the day through. So when you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Oh, yes, he is.
As we pray, as we continue to pray, as we begin to pray, as we finish with our prayer, the conversation continues. And this invitation now is to continue to reach out to Jesus and to invite Jesus to accompany us in joy or in seeking and in thankfulness for the gift of new life for Lindsay and the grandparents of Dwight and or the grandparents that are Dwight and Diane. This prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving for the presence of our sister Frances Dean, who is worshiping in our midst this morning. This prayer is thanksgiving for children who know that stress will lead them to take things out on their friends even when they don't mean to. And it is their teaching for us to know that we need not take out our stress on our friends when we don't mean to do that. I need to stop preaching and ask you if there are other needs and concerns or joys for prayer. I invite you to share. Please, Debbie. Richard's sister's husband, Mike Gant, died this week. Connie, please. Welcome. Welcome home, Linda and Al. I'm remembering now that we want to also sign those green friendship pads, and definitely, as this congregation does so well, greet visitors and make sure that You know you are connected to your people, in to the people in the pews next to you. Anything else?
I have my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow is Stacy's birthday. So that is a prayer and celebration. Thank you for sharing that. Let us be aware of God's presence. Was somebody else raising a hand? Sorry. Oh. Oh. We stand in confidence, O God, of your presence not only around us but also within us. We know what it's like to walk through the desert for periods of time and to be lonely and confused and tempted. But we know that you know what it is like even greater than any of our experiences. We know of your love for us to walk with us through these challenges, through these times of grief that hit so hard, through these times of challenge when we are struggling to find a crevice or a light or a way to understand what you would have us to do. We also walk through these doors knowing we celebrate new birth. We celebrate birthdays and we celebrate the brothers and sisters of our church family who return from long times away, whether those be for reasons of need because of family's health or for those being returns from vacation or school breaks or whatever it has been, however it has been occurring in our lives that we have been away. And we pray, O God, for all of our dear brothers and sisters who might be in different places this morning, worshiping in other churches or possibly in times of vacation or in times of travel that are necessary for their lives. We ask for safe return for Diane as she comes back from Charleston, and we are thankful, dear God, that Dwight is now out of the hospital and in strong recovery. We give thanks for all the healing touches that you have extended to our family members and are thankful that others are out of the hospital and Dave Myers is up on his feet and recovering well and strongly. And for this time, we know we need your presence. We ask that we might in humility bow our head and truly ask for your guidance. But we also know you guide us and give us answers. You offer us opportunities that sometimes we think are too great, but you call us forward anyway. Remind us that you do take our hand. You will hold it and lead us, and we will be accompanied by your Holy Spirit. And it is with newness, O God, that we pray too. With a little bit of change in the prayer that we get first from the Gospel according to Luke, as we pray this shorter but sincere Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us day to day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Amen. We receive our gifts of tithes and offerings as the ushers come forward. O God, help us to be repairers of the breach, offering hope out of chaos, clothed in joy. Fill us with great faith, so that we may tell the good news of your saving love, through Jesus Christ, our hope in the storm. Amen. Please be seated. We come to this table because it is a bread and a cup that the Lord Jesus prepared for us. We come to this table because Jesus wants to continually feed us with holiness and nurture us with strength and salvation. We are people hungry and thirsting for justice and righteousness, and it is found in this meal. So this invitation is to all of you, and let us share in these words. The Lord be with you, also with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give our thanks and praise. It is right to know that you surround us, O God, and that we are ever supported and strengthened by you. It is right that we ask that you set apart these common elements of bread and cup to this sacred ceremony and sacrament of your life and blood poured out and given for us. It is right that we know we need nourishment, we need guidance, we need to have renewed faith in what you can do through us. And in the eating and drinking of this bread and cup, might we be renewed, might we know you are with us, and might we be filled with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul wrote, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread, and he gave it to them and said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner also, after they had supped, he took the cup. And after he had given thanks, he poured it out and he gave it to them, saying, this cup is my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of your sins and for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show forth my life, my death, and resurrection until I come. Let us share this time of eating. Gluten-free bread is in the little cupcake section, and all others can take from the rest of the basket. Let us be aware of Christ. Denise. This morsel of common bread, this particle of life for us, is for renewal, is for your faith, for your journey in these days. Eat this in remembrance of him. And as with the bread, please hold until all have been served and we will drink together. This cup of salvation has the power to cleanse you of all your sin. When you realize that taking in this gift of love makes you a new person, there is not anything you cannot accomplish. Drink this in remembrance of him. We pray in thanksgiving, O God, for the love you pour out for us this day. We pray in hopefulness for all that you will accomplish through us in the love of your Son. We pray, knowing that our sins have been forgiven. So much is expected of us. In the name of your Son, amen. And now go out into this world in peace. Know that you are cleansed of your sins and free to share the love of Christ with all that you meet. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the righteousness and glory of this Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.